So I say, Christ is risen, and then you say, He's risen indeed. Christ is risen. Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome to Craigie Hill this morning, this Easter morning. Special welcome if you're visiting with us over to see family or friends to be along with us this Easter morning. We are glad for your company. And we also say hello to those who are joining us either now or later on the live stream. Let's see, announcements. This morning, well, we've already had the dawn service. That was at half six. It had that feeling of, I don't know about you, whenever you wake up in the morning early and it's still dark and you think you're going on your holidays or something, you know, you're going to get the ferry. No, we didn't. We went down to the Bankhead and we had a lovely time. There must have been about, what, 70 or so, David? But, more, a little bit warmer to play the piano in here, though. And then back up to the halls. And thanks to our chefs and to all who helped and served us breakfast. I think it's fair to say we had a few more than expected, but nothing flustered them. Nothing flustered them at all, and everyone had a great breakfast. So thanks to you all. Now, what's happening then today? Service then tonight. Martin will be taking the service this evening at 6:30 and we'll gather in the church. So in the church here rather than over in the hall tonight at 6:30. During the week, all, God willing, is quiet. We have no midweek. But then on Saturday the 15th of April at 3 p.m., the moderator, Right Reverend Dr. John Kirkpatrick, will be coming to open our new extension. So there's going to be a short service here, short service at 3 o'clock or so, and then some refreshments served afterwards. It's still coming together. I don't know if there'll be a ribbon or not, but we will see. But we're going to be pleased to have the moderator of our General Assembly here with us to thank the Lord for the successful work. If you are not here, and perhaps there are some who are traveling over the Easter time, I'm hopeful, maybe this will come as news to the guys at the back, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to stream the service or record it at least so people could watch if they're not able to be present. But that's not a reason not to come. It'd be good to see a bit of a crowd there for that. The 15th of April. I think that's all the announcements, but also to say and to thank the choir. We might maybe get a chance later, but to thank them for their work on their anthems this morning and also this evening. So thanks to you, David and Alan, and all those who have taken part. To say, and I hear the noise of children, which is wonderful. We love to hear the noise of children, mostly my own. Here this morning, there will be creche, and the kids can head out after our children's address. But don't worry about the noise; all's good, all's good. Now, let me call us to worship. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you're being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what also I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, and worthy to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Amen. And we thank the Lord for his preaching to us in the course of our life, that he has opened up our blinded eyes, and that we know the grace of God. The resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of our faith, and that's what we gather this morning to remember. We're going to sing our first hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Let's stand and sing. Let's join our hearts together. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, in adoration. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For Lord, you have caused us to be born again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we praise and honor you, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us such a rich inheritance that can never perish, that can never spoil, fade, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. Oh Lord, we praise and adore you that you secured for us a new hope and a new future by the means of that decisive victory over the grave by Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we worship you that Christ has spoiled the strong man, defeated the devil, and triumphed over him. Oh Lord, we thank you for the one, our Savior, who crushes the serpent's head. Now all the powers of darkness are in confusion and retreat. Lord, we worship you that Christ has risen triumphant from the grave. He has burst open the gates of hell, and the captives may now go free. Oh Lord, how we, who once walked in darkness, can now see a great light. We who were held captive by fear of death can be released. Oh, Father, we pray that this Easter morning for each one here, Lord, for from the youngest to the eldest, Lord, in our families, Lord, that we would have our minds filled, with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we here whose hearts are once hardened by sin's deceitfulness, Lord, could praise you for replacing them with hearts now of flesh, hearts that are sensitive to sin's sensitive slightest touch, and hearts that recall from evil, and hearts that beat with a love for you. And Father, we pray for those who don't have such hearts, who are still yet dead in sin, who are still yet fast bound and enslaved by it, who are under despair, Lord, without resurrection hope. Father, we pray that you, by the proclamation of your word, would even help, indeed draw sinners unto your Son, that they may come and see. Father, how we need, even yet more than help, we need you to drag us, to lift us up. And Lord, we pray for that work of your Spirit amongst us here at this morning. Lord, convict of sin and apply to us, O Lord, the grace, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And keep, O Lord, us in that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read. We have been reading through Romans, and we gathered, we're at Romans 3, and I was wondering, should I, you know, take a break, a special service, whatnot? And then I saw the passage and I thought to myself, no, I'm reading that. Romans 3 and 21, the righteousness of God through faith. We're working our way through the book of Romans and we come to Romans 3 and 21. Romans 3 and 21, we'll read through to 31. Let's hear God's mighty word to us. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What then? What becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? No, by no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Amen. And we praise the Lord that we are justified. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. The choir are now going to bring an anthem to us that speaks of our justifying Savior, the wonderful cross. Amen. Thank you. That was beautiful. Now, boys and girls, do you have any Easter eggs in your house? Have you been having eggs already for breakfast this morning, maybe? No. Well, we might have had some chocolate eggs. I might even had a wee mini egg before getting up here. And the choir, Jennifer from the choir anyway, has left me a little Kit Kat, which I might have in the intermission. Do you know that little bit before the sermon? When all you are going out. Give me a bit of a chocolate boost. Well, I was trying to think, what will I talk to you about this morning? Well, what else could we talk about but Easter? But I have all these Easter eggs about my house. And they are, well, there's Phoebe's, and there's Julia's, and there's Caleb's, and Josh's too, and even one to Jennifer and Ben. So I thought, could I maybe bring them in and help us think about the Easter story with some of them? So let's see how I will go. Well, I have got myself you see this one here? What sort of an egg? What sort of an Easter egg one is this? This is a white buttons Easter egg, a Cadbury's white buttons one. I love these. Now, we are told in the Bible, boys and girls, that we were made upright. We were white. We were pure. We had not done any evil. Our first father, our first mother, Adam and Eve. Now, like these white chocolate buttons, they were spotless. And all the work that they did in the garden was sweet to the Lord. But boys and girls, did it stay that way? Did it stay that way? No. Sin entered in. Now the Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. We're a little bit like, this is a hard one to, do you want me to open it up? Actually, this one here. Let's open this one up. Yeah. I'm opening this one up. Don't worry, Phoebe, it's not yours. Or Joshua. Right, oh, this one here. Do you see it, boys and girls? Can you see it? It's like a little, this one here is a Marks and Spencer's vegan umballs something or other. I don't know what you would call that. Where am I going here with this, boys and girls? Well, you'll see where I'm going. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Sin entered in. We're dark. A little bit like our vegan chocolate Easter egg. Our vegan chocolate Easter egg. There's no color or light or goodness in us. Our works are not sweet to the Lord. I had to look up a verse for this one. Revelation 3 and 16. God spits us out of our mouth. Our works are not sweet to the Lord. And that's what I want to do whenever I try to eat this thing. You can try that if you want after. I think that was Nana Preston actually dropped us off a few of these. I'll be getting in trouble. So, boys and girls, we're not so sweet to the Lord. In fact, we're not sweet at all. We're dark. How are we to be pure and spotless again? Well, we need a Lamb of God. We need a one who is pure and spotless. We need one who will take us in our darkness, us in our wrongness, one to stand, as it were, in the middle and take on our sin and save us. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He comes in the midst of us. That's what he did at Easter time. He was the middle cross, boys and girls, with the sinners to the left, a sinner to the left and a sinner to the right. And the Lord Jesus came to save us. Jesus takes our sin and presents us before the Lord as spotless, as holy. And that's what we do on Easter Sunday. We gather to say that he is risen. It is all true. The great proof that it is finished. When we repent and believe, we're saved by him. We can be, here's one other one I found. What's this one here? Smarties. Smarties. We can be smart. We can trust in him. And we can be saved by the Lord. I hope you've done that. From the littlest one, whom I baptized, to the eldest, that we can all trust in the Lord. And then, boys and girls, we will be pure and spotless again, fit for heaven, bright. That's what we want. That's what we pray for you this Easter time. I hope you have fun eating your Easter eggs and as much fun as I had in trying to think about them a little. I'm looking forward to eating this one, actually. This is a nice one. Hotel chocolate, this one. I think that's from Granny Anderson, actually. We thank her for it. But I hope you have fun at Easter time. But you also remember the most important message of Easter. Christ is risen and that he is our pure and spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Easter time. We thank you for our little ones. And Lord, in the midst of chocolate, in the midst of Easter bonnets, in the midst of Easter egg hunts, Lord, help them to see the Easter faith that we proclaim, our Easter religion, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen one, the one who is the pure and spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, Father, we thank you that Easter Sunday is the great proof that it's finished. And Father, help them, O Lord, from that earliest age to repent and believe that they would be saved by him, made right indeed in your sight by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we're going to sing this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's stand and sing. Where she was going. Now, let's read from our passage this morning. No surprise, return to Matthew 28. Let's read the first 10. We'll read the 10 verses. We're specifically thinking on verse 6, though, but we'll read the 10 verses. Matthew 28, the resurrection. The account of the resurrection here in Matthew's Gospel. Verse 1, let's hear God's word. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going on before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with great fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up to him, or came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. And we thank the Lord for his word to us. The grass fades, the flowers wither, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We're going to sing from the Psalter. Sing Psalms 22. And the first verses 23 to 27. Psalm 22, the great psalm of that the Lord Jesus had on his mouth on the cross. And it's in two parts. The first, of course, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the psalm turns and turns to praise. Praise him, all you fear the Lord. Give honor to him, Jacob's race. All Israel's children worship him. Bow down with awe before his face. Psalm turns to praise because the Lord brings his deliverance and he is risen. So we can sing with great joy to our Savior. Let's stand and sing. Oh, let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Our Father, how the psalmist spoke truth. In the words, the generation still to come will tell a people yet unborn the righteous acts he has done. Oh Lord, we pray, Lord, that even this morning we would see yet that little bit more clearly. Lord, even that simple fashion, Lord, the clear work that you have done for us And that with the proof of the resurrection, Lord, you would convict our hearts. Lord, that we would grow in love for our Savior. Lord, even those perhaps who have yet not, Lord, would be turned, Lord, by your grace, to trust upon the Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus Christ is risen. And there is no better news. No better news to share on Easter Sunday. No better news in all of history. No more important event than Jesus Christ's resurrection. Today is God's amen to Good Friday's suffering and work. The cross on Friday and the crown on the Sunday. With his dying, there is atonement. And with his rising, there is application. And I thought what we could do is consider verse 6 of Matthew 28, really, as a guide. Two simple parts, really, and it's a simple message. First, he is not here, for he is risen. And then secondly, come and see the place where he lay. So we'll consider the events of Christ's resurrection. He is risen. And then the application of that, of Christ. Christ's resurrection, the application of that. And what it means for us as we see the place where he lay. So the resurrection is recorded for us in each of the four Gospels. And over the years here, I have looked at their very different viewpoints of that same event. And it's clear without Matthew 28, without Mark 16, without Luke 19 or John 20, you and I would have no faith, no hope, no power. This resurrection is repeatedly brought up by the Holy Spirit in the inspired New Testament. In the Gospels and the letters, again and again, the resurrection. They could not stop talking about the resurrection and its implications for their lives. So at dawn, well, what happened? At dawn, the female disciples of Jesus headed to the tomb. Two in Matthew were recorded, and we know several others according to Mark and Luke. And they come to anoint Jesus' body with spices, really to finish the embalming work that had begun on the Friday with Nicodemus and Joseph at the tomb. The sun went down, and then, of course, tools had to be laid down. Sabbath began. So, first light on the first day of the week. This is the next time, the next available opportunity to go and finish the work. The soonest time that they could arrive after the end of the Sabbath. They loved the Savior. They loved their Savior. And even though they thought him dead, they wanted to come to his tomb. The disciples are gathered at this stage inside for fear of the Jews, but the women went, and they came around the corner, as it were, and what did they find? Verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came back and rolled the stone. They came around the corner, and the stone was rolled away. The tomb was open. Verse 2 explains what happened to the stone. There was a great earthquake. And why was that? An angel, the Bible tells us, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Descended from heaven. That's a tremendous occurrence. You know, very, very rarely, perhaps, if you've been up to the air show at Portrush, you will hear the noise of fighter jets soaring in the air and then descending. And of course, it's a loud thing, isn't it? It penetrates to the core. The sound wave. Well, the earth itself felt the sound wave. The earth itself shook at the descent of that angel. So rapid was his descent from heaven. And he picked up that stone, and which was set in the groove, sealed by Pilate. But he picked it up as if it was nothing and moved it away. And as if to demonstrate the Almighty's great victory over any obstacle, that would be in the path of his son. He sits on the stone. I love that. Rolled back the stone and sat on it. Sat on it. An angel once guarded the entry to the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. Humanity could not go that way to eternal life anymore. Now an angel sits in a stone, inviting all in to see an empty grave, where we must go to receive eternal life. Now, not just the angel's, note here, the angel's actions are recorded for us. What does verse 3 do? Verse 3 records for us the angel's appearance. The angel's appearance. The Spirit saw fit not just to record the actions of the angel, but also the angel's appearance. His visage, as it were. His appearance, like lightning. His clothes, like pure as the snow. He had come. Where did he come from? Somebody like that there. Where do you think he came from? Face like lightning, clothes pure as the snow. Well, there's only one place he could have come from. From heaven. From the holiness of the Lord. The holiness of the Lord imprinted upon him. And what happened to see whenever these two guards saw such an angel? Well, the appointed guards they went into some sort of temporal paralysis, we find. They became like dead men. They froze. Such was the terror. Such was the appearance of the angel. Face like lightning, clothes like pure as snow, white like snow. The sight of such an angel causes men to freeze and become like dead men. Friend, think of what happens, what will happen when the Son of Righteousness descends. How will we then respond to those who are, if we are an enemy of his on that great and awful day of judgment? They became like dead men at the sight of the angel. Remember how the scribes and the chief priests, what did they do? They petitioned Pilate for guards to warn off Jesus' disciples. They didn't want the disciples of Jesus coming and taking away the body. And then Pilate tried to seal away the resurrection with his seal and also the stone. But the merest single angel from heaven, the merest single angel from heaven, removed all of those obstacles. Just like that. Men became as dead, and the stone rolled away. Now, Jesus had risen himself, what the scriptures tell us, he had risen himself. He did not need the angel's help in this, but God saw fit to use an angel to open the way for his disciples. That Easter morning, there would be no stopping the world from seeing the glorious power of Christ Jesus' resurrection. Is there anything that needs cast off in your life? Is there anything that is an obstacle for you coming to see the Lord Jesus, that you might receive the resurrection reality in your life? We pray the Lord would remove it. Now, contrary to the enemies of Christ, to whom the angels spoke fear and paralysis, became as dead men, what happens when Christ's followers see the angel? Well, to the angel, verse 5, the very next verse. So, to Christ's enemies, they trembled and became like dead men. But to Christ's friends, his disciples, these followers of his, verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Then come and see the place where he lay." To Christ's followers, here this morning, and on that Easter morning, love spoken and welcome extended. "Do not be afraid. I know you seek." The angel knew why they were there. They were looking for Jesus. And they need not be afraid. The guards had their back to Jesus, trying to keep out people. And they're now as dead men. But to those who seek Jesus, Those who seek Jesus, those ladies did not need a fear. It is a fearful thing to have your back turned to the Lord. To try to keep the tomb of our heart closed off. To be without Christ. But to those who seek Christ, you need not be afraid. He is the firstborn of the dead. And he can be your elder brother, your Savior, your Lord. That's not a fearful thing. But it's the most lovely embrace that the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep of his pasture. He comes to us. He carries us. He finds us in our worries and our anxieties, our fears. And into his arms he takes us and tells us, do not be afraid. Though your sins be like as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1 and 18. Friends, you may have sins as scarlet, but the Lord Jesus can make you as white as snow. There is our lovely, beautiful Savior who tells us, do not be afraid. Have you sought the Lord Jesus? You sought the Lord Jesus. Believers, us too, we need here this Easter morning to seek the Lord Jesus, to know him more, to know his resurrection power and the reality of that power in us. That we would grow in righteousness and put sins to death. That we need not fear. Need not fear. See then how the angel references the two foundations, the dual foundation of fear's dismissal. Why can he say to them, do not be afraid? Well, there's two reasons. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. First, Jesus was crucified. We have no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. Those ladies no doubt thought he was dead. They sought to crucify Jesus. Friends, this must be true for you and me this morning. We must come and seek a Jesus who was crucified. There at the cross, Jesus Christ lays down his life for his friends, his people, his atoning sacrifice. You and I need a crucified Savior. Our sin demands a Savior who was crucified. Our God abhors unrighteousness and iniquity. There is no loophole to escape his judgment. It must fall on us, or there must be one to take our place. But who would be good enough? God himself in the Council of Peace. See, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Reasons and plans such to substitute that God the Son would descend, come and take on humanity. Very God, very man. That his people who receive him would be freed from the rottenness and the deceit and the deadness of sin to light and life in the full. Seek Jesus who was crucified. There is no other covering good enough. But we're not left with the dead Jesus. Those ladies that came to the tomb, but they did not come to a dead Jesus. There'd be no Easter hope. We'd be left to be more pitied than anyone, as the Apostle Paul says, if he remained dead. No, the angels tell those seekers of Jesus, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Just as Jesus Christ was delivered for our trespasses, he was raised for our justification. He's risen indeed and raised from the dead. What an announcement that Jesus Christ is not just another dead teacher, another dead teacher of a way to live, but he is the glorious risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords, very God, very man, both almighty and one who can sympathize with us in our weakness. Raised. He is raised. That means that all of what Jesus taught is true. All that he suffered on the cross was not in vain. It's not in vain. It has the amen of God the Father. As he said, Christ subjected himself to these things. As he said, he is not here. He has risen. As he said, he did not subject himself to these things thinking that it's a 50-50 if he would rise again. Certainly he went to die and to rise again. So those women came and saw the rolled away stone. And the way was entered and opened for them to enter in and see for themselves. Christ is risen. And this not just for himself, but that he might be the resurrection and the life for us. You know, having thought of the true events of his rising, let's consider that invitation by the angel. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see the place where he lay. There's a tender application. There is the call of Christ to us this morning. The invitation to come and see the place where he lay. Come see that everything for your salvation has been done. Good Friday, he was crucified. Easter Sunday, Easter morning, he has risen. There's nothing to bring. There's nothing more to do. The ladies could not work anything more. They had nothing to offer. Not their tears, not their shock, not their spices, nothing. All they needed to do was receive by faith. Come and see the empty tomb. We come this morning as poor sinners with nothing to offer but to see the risen Savior. You know, in John 20, we're told of the folded grave clothes. The folded grave clothes. Have you ever wondered about that? These folded grave clothes. Our Savior left his old earthly grave clothes. He didn't need them anymore. They're folded neatly and left behind because he had resurrection garments that praise and adorn his resurrected victory, his glorious victory. You know, there's a custom for picking out our final grave clothes. Our loved ones do this for us at times. Maybe you've even done that recently. But you know something. You know something. You might need them for burial. You might need them for burial, but we'll never wear them again if we're found in Christ. We'll never wear them again if we're found in Christ. Why? He provides robes of righteousness for his children. My best suit that I will be buried in, is nothing. It's a filthy rag compared to what I will wear in eternity bright. But there's even deeper sense to those resurrection clothes of Christ while we're yet still living. We must take off our internal clothes of our own effort, of our own work, and rest on the one who has left the folded grave clothes, who covers our sins and sorrows and gives us garments as bright and as pure as the angels. Come and see the miracle of the resurrection of Christ. It's the ground of our hopes. Because of this, we can look forward to the future with hope. Because of this, well, God says, I am satisfied with the work of my Son. It is finished on Calvary. The empty tomb is God's amen. Except at the work of Good Friday. All those who seek salvation need only come and see the miracle. They need to lay down their own works and rest in him, for he is risen. Friends, God works a wondrous salvation in believers. Have you believed? Have you received? The proof is God's word. He is risen. I can offer no more secure foundation than the word of God on the matter. And not just for unbelievers this morning, but for us who believe. Come and see again, believer. Christ's resurrection is a historical event that serves a firm foundation for our weak and our weary minds. Christ, the first fruits, then those who are Christ, each in his order, 1 Corinthians 15 and 23. And this is all this we profess. Not because it works for us that we gather here, because sometimes the world will paint us as this, that we're needy people and we have some sort of want that to be fulfilled, and that, well, if it works for you, it's okay, that's fine. That'd be a weak reason indeed to be a Christian. We must be an Easter people because it is historic truth. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. It's the grounds of our faith. Knowing this, then we will suffer. We will face persecution, even prison, death, as our brothers and sisters do throughout the world, this present Sunday, and as our forefathers did in ages past, what gives them the motivation? What, it's not just because it works for them. It's a nice idea. It is because it is the truth of the Bible. He is risen. Easter isn't just a little chocolate rush. Easter isn't something that gives, oh, it was a nice service. It gives us a wee lift. You hear that sometimes, don't you? Oh, give me a wee lift. No. Easter lifts us from death and sin to life in Christ. That is why Easter is important. We are lifted from our death and sin to life in Christ. We have an assurance that what was true for our Savior will be one day true for us. Calvin said that there was begun in the head what must become complete in all the members. There is resurrection coming, and we patiently wait until God in his own good time restores his kingdom. What joy awaits, what joy today, is the joy of your salvation, that the Lord is risen indeed. Have you come and seen? Have you laid down, unbeliever, your works, your filthy rags, and rested on his finished work? You have nothing to bring but yourself. Bring yourself and flee to him to repent and believe upon the Savior. Then you'll be lifted out of your own power by Christ's power. Do you live? Do you die for him, that we may show forth his Easter glory? This is our faith. This is our faith. This is what we do here. This is our religion. This is our Easter hope, that he has risen. He's not here. Verse 6, for he is risen. Come and, he's, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Amen. And we pray that many, even this morning, will come and see our Savior. Let's pray, shall we?